Paranormal investigator radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
If you have questions, news, requests, new technology you would like us to review, team updates, event updates, or if you would like to be a guest on our show, email us at submit@paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I didn't know if we were going to have a show or if we were just going to listen to sound clips all night.
Wow. That intro gets longer and longer.
It sure does. Wow.
And welcome, everybody, to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I am one of your hosts. I'm Steve.
And this is Nicole.
I'm Mike.
I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero.
And I'm Peter.
Peter.
Peter, man. Do you want background music tonight, or should we see if we pick up a ghost?
Well, let's see if we can pick up something.
A lot of weird stuff has been happening, so let's go with it. Let's see what happens.
So if you're a ghost, we have a toll-free number. It's 1-888-429-5471. Eligible ladies in Canada, we still need to find a date for Mike, so we need... where is it?
What?
530-413-9537.
And I do love Canadian women.
Do you?
Hey.
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 It's a boot time, you admitted it.
A boot?
Very polite.
So did you all see the breaking news about Scaricon? They got...
Michael.
What's his name? Michael Anthony Hall.
Wow.
Anthony almost
Michael
said John Wilkes Booth. I don't know that. That's no comparison.
Michael Anthony.
John Wilkes Booth. It's Anthony
that's,
Michael.
It's sure to be a
showstopper. They got John Wilkes Booth.
I bet it'll be a blast, Steve.
I bet you will.
Especially if you sit in the head rows.
But he really kills it when he's on stage.
I'm sick, Semper Tyrannus, of your comments, Mike. No.
I actually talked to... That's funny. I talked to J.V. Johnson last night, yesterday afternoon, who's the organizer of Scaricon, and he said that he's very, very busy right now planning, and things are moving forward, and I think we're going to be using our automated announcing system this year. He actually reached out and asked if that was something that's still on the table, so after a couple years of trying to push that...
How many years can it...
We'll see what happens.
Can you run around like a chicken with your head off?
That's all right.
Chicken.
Well, hell's bells and apple smells. That's a big honor for David. You created that. You put a lot of work into that.
As long as we can use it, that'll be exciting.
Let's have a hip hip hurrah.
Hurrah!
Yay!
So how is everybody tonight?
Doing well.
Doing well.
So let me spout out about this Charlie crapple.
That's on our list of things to talk about.
Oh, you got a list? Never mind.
Yeah, we got a big
every
list.
Sin.
That was number one. That's number one on the list.
I didn't know there was a list.
We know you love to talk about it, though, so let's jump right in to Charlie.
I agree with Mike. I mean, no self-respecting
Mexican
demon's going to call himself
Charlie
and be Carlos. Yeah.
At this point, we would like to apologize to Charlie Sheen. Oh, wait, we said self-respecting.
And if you're out there listening, Charlie, it'd be for you to call up and put...
This is the phone call we're going to get. Charlie Sheen's going to call...
1-888-429-5471.
Wait for
phone
me to
line
line
is
a bottle of Jack Daniels and some Valium.
There's nothing wrong with that. So what is the gist of Charlie? What do we got to do?
You, it's like a cut down Ouija board. You put what, yes and no on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. and like four blocks alternate yes, yes, no, no. You balance a pencil on another pencil, and it's supposed to spin or move to, you know, it starts off, you say, Charlie, are you there?
Then ask the question.
Charlie, are you there? And it's supposed to start moving to your yes or no. It's like a real simple Ouija board.
Well, if it moves to no, doesn't that defeat
question.
The purpose of...
That's a good question.
Well, then who the hell's here if it's not Charlie?
It's Carlos.
See, but I wouldn't even say that, but that's but this is very disturbing because it was even being pushed by radio stations. It's like you're inviting people to invite a demon into your house. I mean, that's sort of like letting politicians into your house. I mean, it's the same theory. I mean, just don't open that door. Nobody's home.
And we don't want to talk to you.
What's that sign? I seen something on Facebook. It's like, I've already found Jesus. I don't want cookies or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Please don't bother ringing my doorbell unless you want me to shoot you in the head with my...
Oh, dear.
1-888-429-5477.
All right, Nicole, jump into your Charlie thing. Let's talk
what
about it.
Jesus and cookies?
Charlie, from what we were talking about earlier, ended up being a marketing stunt for the new movie that's coming out.
Which is?
The Gallows.
The Gallows, that's correct. Mm-hmm. So after all this craziness, this initial media hype about Charlie, the producers or whatever they are of this new movie, The Gallows, finally made the announcement that it was actually a big publicity stunt to try and drum up some media so that when the previews of this movie actually came out, and in the previews they're doing this Charlie thing, it would be an instant draw for
you
people.
You have the background.
Yeah, you got the background of what's going on, so you're going to be more likely to want to watch the movie. So there's this whole convoluted history behind this Charlie thing, and apparently it's all just a made-up ruse.
The Blair Witch Project did that. I don't know if you remember
that.
Yes, they
did.
Yep.
They had, like, made-for-TV specials about the history of Burkittsville.
Yeah.
They did everything in their power to convince you that it was real.
Yep.
And then they were on the MTV Video News.
Yeah, I met two of them at ScareCon a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a very nice lady.
Well, she was, and I love the Blair Witch, and I actually like that sort of hype about it when it sells you on.
Kind of makes you wonder.
Especially like today, where like it's great that they managed to keep it a secret for so long.
Yeah, even though it was only like 3 days, but.
But you know what I mean?
It
like nowadays, you could never, with the internet, it's like everything's ruined before it even comes out. Nowadays,
yep.
Trailers and teasers and who leaked what, and it's. So the fact that they started something real to keep it a secret for 3 days
is
pretty amazing.
But now, while we're talking about Charlie, it's worth mentioning the danger behind some of these things. And it doesn't matter if it's a Ouija board, it doesn't matter if it's tarot cards, it doesn't matter if it's the magic 8-ball.
Fortune cookies.
It doesn't matter if it's Charlie with two pencils. There's nothing magic about it. It's just the intent behind it that makes it potentially dangerous. If you're going to invite a demon into your home, or if you're going to invite a demon wherever you are, then, you know, there could be some repercussions. And it's funny, the day that this came out, that night, we started getting phone calls from people that said, we did this Charlie thing, and now lights are turning off, doors are opening.
And somebody called me, and they says, me and my friends did this Charlie thing, and of course, at that time, I didn't know what Charlie was. I says, what the heck is Charlie? They explained it to me. Don't do that.
That's right.
And I says, anything that has to do with that, or Ouija board, tarot cards, I says, you don't want to be involved in. I says, you don't know what you're bringing into your home, or your friend's home, or into your life. You may open doors that you can't close.
Yep. And that's what we always tell people with the Ouija board. It's not like who makes Parker Brothers or Milton Bradley, or has a demon injector in their assembly line that's injecting demons into their games. It doesn't matter what you use to do it.
It's sort of irrelevant. It's just the focus.
It's the focus and the intent of
what you're doing. Me and my friend, they wanted to do it, and I'm the weird one in my group of friends. So they're like, oh, you're all into witches and stuff. Make us a Ouija board. So I cut letters, wrote on a piece of paper letters, put them in a circle. We dipped over a shot glass, lit a candle, and you got it to move. It's the same principle. It's just the details are irrelevant, I guess.
That's right. So yeah, that's our big suggestion.
Games in general are very evil, because I remember the first time I played Dream Date, and she wanted to play the game of life. I had ants in my pants, and before you knew it, I was sorry.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
If you know anything about board games, you might get that in 10 minutes.
Oh, dear.
If you got it right away, 1-888-429-5471. If you've played with Charlie and now have a demon stuck in your house, we'd like to talk to you and the demon. Please call us at 1-888-429-5471. Okay, so...
And there's the awkward silence.
We should have tried it.
No, thank you.
No. We try all this tech stuff. We should try all the weird stuff and see if...
Could it be gravity? What's moving the pencil? Can there be a scientific explanation? It's not really psychokinesis.
Listen, I was listening to...
Electromagnetism.
Elvis Duran in the Morning. So, if somebody from the Elvis Duran in the Morning show is listening to us...
1-888-429-5471.
So
1-888-429-5471.
So on the radio show, they were trying to balance the pencils, and the pencils kept moving. They couldn't get the pencils to balance. My entire drive from Rome to Utica, about 35 minutes, they spent just trying to get pencils to balance. And then they were moving and shifting and everything. The table wasn't level, and then they were using round pencils instead of the number 2 hexagonal pencil. I would imagine there's any number of reasons why pencils would inexplicably move.
Demon?
Gravity?
Elemental.
Elemental.
Fairy.
Fairy. Gas.
Gas.
Gas. Human gas.
Swamp gas.
A breeze.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Oh!
Breathing.
A tilted table.
Crashed weather balloon.
Barometric pressure. Swamp gas. We can't forego swamp gas. That's
sky
always
whales.
Sky whale. Psychokinetic ability.
Your wife pooping in the bathroom and causing
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot is a good viable answer. Because as he's stomping around, it's causing vibrations.
Bigfoot is stomping.
It could be anything.
I think so.
So Mike brought up a good point. He's like, can Bigfoot be blonde?
Would you be interested?
In a blonde Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Only if he had a Swedish accent. Or she. She! Only she!
I'm sitting here looking at you, Mike.
Please
rephrase that.
Our conversation about blonde Bigfoot involved a man, but not... Yeah, but...
So now you're going for your other foot.
Bachman Turner Overdrive taught us any love is good love. But yeah, they're all just that generic brown. Well, I guess monkeys are too, aren't they? They're all just one.
How about an albino Bigfoot? I wonder if that's possible.
Would that be a Yeti?
Ah, that's a very good question.
No.
I don't know.
Because a Yeti wouldn't have the red eyes. It would be white fur, kind of like a snowshoe rabbit or a polar bear.
That's true.
Where its fur would adjust to fit its environment, but it wouldn't have albinoism, where it would be
or snow
allergic to the sun. Or.
But what if an albino Bigfoot made it to Tibet? Would it be accepted as a Yeti?
No, because it's not. It's an albino Bigfoot.
It makes you wonder. I want you all to think about that tonight.
I mean, I guess if you...
No, I'm not thinking about that tonight.
I guess if you stuck around long enough and then went through their membership rituals.
Hazing?
Yeah.
Membership rituals?
And you'd have to provide the finger snap for when they're facing off against rival Bigfoot gangs.
Oh, yeah, just...
When you're a Yeti, you're a Yeti all the way. From your first Sherpa hike.
Who plays Officer Krupke?
Oh,
I don't know, but I know he's really a square.
I played him in high school.
I was Tony. I got to be Tony. West Side Story, I didn't come on Peeps with me.
Oh,
I know where you're going. I'm just wondering why you're going there.
You know what stopped me at? That's why I'd go anywhere.
Musical. I think
they
can make money off
of
this.
Oh my goodness.
Bigfoot, the musical.
No one stopped.
They have Bigfoot.
Do they
musical.
Really?
Yes, they do.
See,
yes,
they
do.
Damn it. How about albino Bigfoot?
Did he spend time cursing his big feet? These feet of mine.
Bigfoot the musical. It has a Facebook page.
Why are they so big?
Yep. Bigfoot the musical, there's really such thing.
Yes, and they have Sasquatch the musical too. Yep.
Not the same thing.
One is an Indiegogo project.
The Sasquatch story is kind of like the Bigfoot story, but in
Bigfoot
small blocks, and then he ends up on a reservation.
You never know.
Do they have Diarrhea the musical?
No, I don't.
Poop, poop, boom.
There is a movie out there called Monstered.
Was Peter in it?
I know. Why was I not cast for such a role?
It's,
my whole life I've been waiting for such crap to happen to me.
It's about a serial killer who gets executed.
Monster.
And his spirit, whatever, I forget the word, but his soul ends up possessing a pile of feces. And he is a turd monster going around town killing people.
So then when he meets a girl, this becomes 50 Shades of Brown.
And it's not a musical, but it has a very catchy theme song that is like, number two, gonna kill you, number two, number two.
1-888-429-5471.
Monster.
If you've seen
Monster, to the poop side of things.
Well, it's inevitable.
I always go for that toilet humor, I'm sorry.
Except the musical, I haven't seen any activity since 2012.
Well,
it's out there, though.
It's out there. What are you going to do?
We can revive it. We're good at what we do.
Well, I mean...
Doo-doo. He said doo-doo.
If you do Bigfoot the musical, if you're going to do a show about a hairy guy who sings, I'm pretty sure it was just replaced with Jersey Boys. Ayo! Get a hairy Italian guy singing.
Okay, we're going to stop Mike right there, and go ahead, Nicole, let's jump back in.
I got some sad news. This was in the news this week. Betsy Palmer died. Cam Voorhees.
Friday
the 13th. Mom.
Did you ever see the first Friday the 13th?
Oh,
no.
Yes, I see.
Yeah,
yeah.
She passed.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was 80.
She was old.
She was 86 or 88.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
well, wasn't she the one in the original doing all the killings?
She was a legal death age.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I didn't know there was a legal death age.
Yeah.
When did you get to about 80? Man, when you die after you're 80, you never.
So, Mom.
Wow, you are in quite the mood.
What the heck?
Like, once you get to a certain age, who cares?
Oh, yeah, my grandfather's going to be about 88, and you know, I love him, but when you get to be about that age when you go, everyone's like, well, we're old.
So, Monsterd is actually the main star. His name is Paul Wiener.
Is that legit?
Really?
This is IMBD. This is the real deal.
Oh, man.
Apparently, there's a movie called The Refrigerator.
The Refrigerator.
Hmm.
All right.
What will we
move, moving on.
Next topic I found, looking up, researching. The new Poltergeist movie brings everybody back to the 1982 release of the original Poltergeist.
Karen.
Bringing up the fact is that movie cursed with the people that have died in the cast.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody ever heard of anything like that.
No.
I know the little girl died.
The older
yes.
sister that paid.
You never heard
that?
The
older
sister
was murdered.
Yeah.
The older sister was murdered.
The older sister, Dana, is it Dana Dominique Dunn? She was murdered by her ex-boyfriend.
Yep.
The evil spirit who played Cain, he died of stomach cancer. Taylor, the one who played Taylor, died a year after a heart and lung transplant. And then Heather O'Rourke died of septic shock. All from the movie.
How close to the movie, though?
I think it was somebody die. I'll have to look that up.
Because this is one of those things that drives me crazy when people come to us and say, like Star Hill. Like we had people say, well, I know somebody who sat in the rocking chair and died right after it.
Mm-hmm.
What?
20 years, right?
Yeah, how did they die? Of a heart attack. How old were they? 86?
See, past the legal age of death.
When did they sit in the rocking chair? I don't know, when they were in their 30s? So you're telling me 50 years has passed and they died of a heart attack and you're still attributing it to the rocking chair.
Oh, classic.
I mean, if you sat in it and then the week after you died,
yeah, I mean, that's
now you got something.
Because it's a similar curse.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the classic curse of King Tut's tomb.
Right, exactly. Yes, everybody died who discovered King Tut's tomb within the 100 years following the discovery of King Tut's tomb.
No, it was cursed. They're all dead today.
They all died within about 5 years.
Okay, that's weird. All right.
It was in 1982. The last person, Heather O'Rourke, died in 1988. And everywhere 1985, 1982, 84.
I don't buy it. So if more of them died under... Like, obviously, y'all died under tragic, but, like, the one chick was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
If more of them died because of murder or something like that, I believe it occurs. But the fact that they died of, like,
what was
diseases.
What was that movie where everybody ended up dying, like, getting hit by a bus? Or
Final Destination.
It's kind of like a Final Destination thing. Everybody was just destined to go.
Yeah. I don't think it was cursed. My vote is nay.
So, there's speculation about the second movie that has anything happened yet?
Not that I can see.
Not yet.
But
it's new, though.
It's new, and it's what you're making a movie about, is that attaching to you and causing that stuff to happen. So I guess that's what the talk's all about.
Now, Haley went to see it with some of her friends a couple weekends ago. She's 12, and she said it was the dumbest movie she's ever seen. Wasn't even scary.
If a 12-year-old says that, nah, I want nothing to do.
So she wouldn't see the original one, though. I tried to make her watch that, and she wouldn't, watch it.
The original one was far.
That clown.
I haven't seen
the clown.
And then when he's gone.
She said there was a lot of shock scenes, where, like, it just, startle scenes, whatever.
Yeah.
That was it.
Just Craig T. Nelson and that little woman, Caroline.
Yeah.
Coming to life.
I think the original
was. For some reason, the part that always disturbed me most
was
Poltergeist was the scene where she falls in the pool, where they're digging out the pool. And all the bodies start popping around. That's like the one scene out of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
That, and when Craig T. Nelson drank the tequila and swallowed the worm, and then
it grew
back in.
For me, it was the furniture stacking.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered that as a kid.
Yeah.
That used to scare me.
The
it's
kitchen,
like if I go in the
kitchen,
and all of our chairs are stacked on top of the table.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Although, we won't mention what famous television group it is. Apparently they were called into a case where they captured that on film, where like every pot and pan flew out of the shelves and stacked themselves right in front of them. See, now I would like to see that. I'd be screaming like a woman the whole time, but I would like to see something
like
that.
I would like
that
to see it too.
I'd be all screaming, pirate girl!
Dave,
no offense.
Never see, because nothing ever happens around you.
No, it doesn't. Seriously doesn't. Yeah, but that would be true poltergeist activity.
I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to go the first week, but that little hospital see, there you go. I wanted to go see Poltergeist, and I ended up in the hospital.
Well,
that's the curse of Poltergeist.
Actually, you ended up in the hospital rather than see Poltergeist. I'm like a blessing.
I saved $10.
Could have been.
No. You don't want that pain associated.
We're
going to
give you a near-death experience. That's how bad this movie is.
I almost went into the light. It happened every night at 3:30 when I'd wake up and the vampire lady from the, what do you call it, the lab wanted to take blood work. It's like, I'm up all day. You have to wait to 3:30 in the morning to come get my blood.
Just, and you notice they
do
it just as you're in the dozing, just as you're getting comfortable. Because let's face it, getting comfortable in the hospital doesn't really
work.
And then she wasn't gentle.
Unless you're on morphine, then you're comfortable anywhere.
Yeah.
Then she wasn't gentle about it. She was like Pulp Fiction stabbing me right in the vein with the thing. Like, do I stab him on three or do I just... The black and blue finally went away. It's hidden in the stretch marks there, but it's finally gone.
Oh, Pete, I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I'm sorry.
I'll never eat Jell-O again, but...
No.
If you like Jell-O, 1-888-429-5471. We have a lot of eligible bachelors needing...
Interesting though that you bring up the Poltergeist, because there's actually a lot of things out there that have that, like Bruce Lee.
The Crow.
And his
yes.
And Bruce
the
Lee's
Crow,
family occurs. Yep. Of Bruce Lee's death.
Brandon Lee, right?
Death.
Yep.
Bruce Lee was the dad.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee died under crazy circumstances. And Brandon Lee died very similar to how...
Did Bruce Lee die from An aneurysm?
Yeah, some punching or, yeah, it was.
Something like that. And Brandon Lee got shot.
Brandon Lee got shot.
On set, right?
Yeah,
yes.
By a prop gun. And
yeah.
Bruce Lee, I actually read an article that about Bruce Lee, like, this article pretty much pointed that he was actually, to the outside world, pretty much going crazy towards the end of his life anyway, where he literally believed this demon was stalking him to the point where he had, like, around his house, he had, like, hidden compartments full of, like, weapons and stuff. So,
really?
Like, he actually believed this demon was out to get him and his family. And it was a long time since I read anything, but I want to say it was supposed to kill one more of them. I think it was, according to what he thought, it was supposed to kill three of him. Him, his son, and another one, but...
It ended there.
So who remembers this actor named John Eric Hexum? He was on a TV show, I can't remember the show, but he was also stupid. He took a prop gun filled with blanks, put it to his head, and pulled the trigger. What he didn't realize is that blank lodged in his brain and killed him. He could actually do that.
I don't know if I could do that.
Could you, could you actually take a gun, whether it's prop or not, and do that? I couldn't do that.
Could you? I
no.
guess you could.
Could
I wouldn't.
Would you?
No.
I couldn't.
Not unless things are really, really, really bad.
Even black powder, they fire out a ball of wax at you. That can leave.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. And I guess it was, the force was strong enough to go through his skull, and guess what?
Hmm.
He died like 2 or 3 days later.
Well, you know my theory on that. It keeps the population in check, and somebody gets an extra donut for breakfast.
And, like, if you want to...
Lives are changed. People cry, but life goes on.
Turn your bike without using the handlebars.
Because there was action before you came here. There was the police and fire when the kid decided to take the pole on head first and lost.
Didn't go well for him.
Gotcha.
The thud was amazing. I'm surprised. Surprised.
Boom!
You're surprised.
The Wizard of Oz movie, while we're talking about movies, the shadow in the background. Have you heard anything about that? This person hanging from the rafters.
Debunked.
Is it debunked?
You know what I think it is? Because I looked at it. It looks like, if you look at the picture, it looks like a prop that was possibly a prop from the witch flying on a broomstick that got stuck hanging there. Is
there's
exactly
no
what it looks
there's
like.
There's no recorded deaths on set for
no,
Wizard of Oz.
No, it was full of, but no.
No.
The rumor that it was one of the munchkins. And
the staff was so small, how could you tell?
Oh, okay.
Peter.
I see.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's...
If you bring it up,
it looks like a painted prop.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I thought it was... If you look at it, that picture is perfect. It kind of looks like a witch's, you know, the witch's hat.
Yeah.
So I assumed it was maybe a fake prop that they used when they were flying her around.
Yeah.
That was just stuck hanging there. But you're right.
It looks like
it's... There, it looks like it's painted right into the...
Into the background.
Into the background.
So the more important question... With the Wizard of Oz, is where the hell does the Red Road lead to?
The brand new casino that the Turning Stone just built, the Oneida Indian Nation. They just built a gigantic new casino that opened up at 10 a.m. today.
Yes.
If I had my kid. Chittenango, thank you.
I can tell.
It's over in the same area.
Same area.
I'm sure it's part of his book series.
It
I
is,
mean, it's more than one book that Frank Bone
wrote. There's like 30 of them. It leads to, there's like, do you, yeah.
And what I'm referring to is when they get to the center of the yellow brick road is actually swirled in with the red road.
Yeah.
So where the hell did the red road lead to?
They lead to Wonderland's pretty much the geography of Wonderland is a rectangle. And each side is its own.
See, I should start to read books. I should read books instead of burning them.
And the yellow brick road is odds. And the other one goes to, I don't know, the only ones I remember are the Winkies. They're what the soldiers were.
So this brings up something David sent us an email about. We would like to thank the paranormal ghost hunting group out of the the Finger Lakes region.
Oh, this
who
one.
Went in to investigate a family to help them out and pretty much scared them to the point where they left their home. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Great job, guys. We won't say who the group is, but thank you.
Nice going.
There's a lot of weird stuff that was going on in that house, though. And they technically had already moved out before that group came in.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's an example of how you have to be very, very, very careful about what you say mm-hmm. and what you disclose and what context you wrap it all in.
Yes.
Because you could have some devastating consequences. The family did actually end up building a new house and are doing quite well.
We were just actually talking about this not too long
yeah.
ago. That, you know, even our team has handled a case or two like this, a few of them. And these, you know, families, you know, you go to a home and tell them they're demons up there because they're calling you in because when they call you in, you're the supposed paranormal expert. And even, you know, so what you say to them is you got to use a lot of tact. You can't say, well, we went upstairs and we found a demon in your closet and you shouldn't
go
up there.
What do you do then?
Well, I mean, if there is genuine activity, like in this was a valid situation.
But there's
and
ways to put it.
For the people who don't have the background, just very briefly, a family purchased this very old 1800s Victorian farmhouse. They had two children. The oldest child was about 3.5 years old and had an imaginary friend. Started talking to an imaginary friend. Are we listening to something that's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Knocking or pounding.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking on the door, on the men's room door.
Don't open it.
It never fails.
No,
don't let it
not,
in.
You never open the door.
Before we start,
yeah,
the
I'm
show,
sitting
we
by the door.
That's the first rule of paranormal. When you go, you're somewhere where, like, you know, you get the ghostly knocking, you never answer the door.
Is there anyone with us in this room? Would you like to communicate with us? You're on the air. If you were just knocking on the door, can you tell us your name? You don't know how bad I wanted to just fart right now and scare everyone.
I'm glad you didn't. Okay, so getting back to the story, the three-year-old started to have this imaginary friend, and he would say that the friend was scaring him, and he would just stand in corners and point and start crying and say, there's the scary lady, there's a scary man, blah, 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 whatever. So the parents didn't know what else to do. They weren't really they experienced a couple doors opening and closing, attributing it to the old house and you know, bad eddies, whatever. Yeah. So the grandparents were often called in to babysit as, you know, the parents went away for the weekend or whatever. And on this one particular occasion, they had the baby monitor going. It was one with a video baby monitor. They had it facing the kid's crib from across the room. And the grandma was watching it because she was hearing these weird noises up there but knew the kid was asleep and was seeing shadow figures, just constant movement. So after watching it, and then she heard a gurgling or growling noise or something come over the baby mon, they both ran up, grabbed the kid, ran out of the house. The parents came back a couple days later, got some belongings, moved in with the in-laws, never went back to the house, basically abandoned the house. That's when they had a local paranormal team come in from the Finger Lakes region who said basically like everything that could possibly happen in a paranormal incident is happening there. Yeah. So there was a couple suicides in the house. There were some natural deaths in the house. So the house had some history to it. But then they built a new house and everything was fine since they moved out of that house. They always said that the kid was a little bit off, quote unquote. And now he's just a happy, regular, normal boy. So
obviously with the location.
Who knows? So again, getting back to your question, how do you approach that? I mean, if truly something is going on like that, then you have to be factual with it. It is what it is. You can't candy coat it if something's going on because
that's what I would
put people at risk. But
I mean, obviously there's that hysterical level of, oh, that's a demon, get out.
Right.
Yeah, obviously
and that's
you don't
what
want to do that.
Pete and Steve are referring to because we've had cases like that where other teams had gone in and, you know, largely unfounded, they've said, holy cow, you have demons living in your house, don't go upstairs, don't use this room, blah, 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 causing mass hysteria and panic in a family. And that's where it's very bad.
Yeah.
What else, Nicole?
The last thing that I have, I found this weekend, holy cow, Waverly Hills. I received...
This is interesting.
Yeah, listen to this. I received a Facebook... There's a Facebook post that they posted. I forgot, it was about 1:30 in the morning, Saturday, Sunday morning. Basically apologizing to the public who came for an investigation for too much activity on the fourth floor. The activity was so bad that they called it, quote-unquote, by Waverly Hills, Tears and Fears Night. This is how crazy.
Holy cow.
They said that there was above normal activity at Waverly Hills, on the specifically the fourth floor, which is historical for that. They said a shadow person went through a woman, and it was witnessed. And the woman was so hysterical, they had to help her out of the building. She couldn't even get out of her personal.
Holy cow.
And apparently it scared the crowd. And it was so bad that they had to post an apology.
Aren't they remodeling at this point?
They did an investigation Saturday night. I'm not sure what they're remodeling, but wherever the activity is, which is historically the fourth floor, which I followed up and watched Ghost Asylum, the Waverly Hills episode, and that's all they could talk about was the fourth floor. So,
road trip?
Well, we had planned. That is
that's
one
Kentucky,
of our current...
Right?
Yeah.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because we know
ways.
Steve wants to get into Bobby Mackey. We're going to make it a twofer investigation.
Oh, absolutely. Me, Dave,
Pete. Oh, I can't go to Bobby Mackey.
Nope, I wouldn't go to Bobby Mackey's.
We're all going to Bobby Mackey's.
I want to go to Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah.
Are you going in that little hole?
Oh, absolutely.
The portal?
Absolutely. You are too.
Nope.
Yes, you are.
I'm
going to
stay upstairs and have the barbecue.
You're going to Bobby Mackey's.
Sure.
They are generally... Absolutely. Ghost Adventures, watching the show, they're generally afraid of that place. So, I mean,
Ghost Adventures will not
go
in there no more.
No, after
because what happened was is whatever's there was
attached to Aaron
was calling Aaron's wife out and saying he was going to kill her. And matter of fact, they just had I seen an episode. I don't know if it's recent or not because I watch it on Netflix. Is they were actually meeting somebody in Kentucky for something. I can't remember what it was. They sold something, bought it, what have you, I can't remember. But they met somebody there, and they met them, they were meeting them at Bobby Mackey's, but they were meeting them outside Bobby Mackey's, because the big guys at Ghost Adventures will not go in there.
No.
I wouldn't go in there. No, that's just asking for problems.
I have a theory that if I jumped into the portal from hell, I'd just end up back here in Rome.
See, now that interests me. Who was in that crowd to trigger off something
that's,
like that?
Yeah.
Because something had to have led up to that kind of explosion. Like you've said, all these ghost shows have filmed there, and they don't really find anything crazy. I mean, things happen, but...
Like, what if... I wonder if it had anything to do, like...
Did somebody conjure something? You know?
That, or if it has something to do with maybe the history of the place. Like, if it was a...
Well,
an anniversary or
I've seen that the beginning, I guess that one of the janitors that worked there was actually possessed. It was on a haunting. You remember that TV show?
Are you back at Bobby Mackey's?
Yes.
They're back on Waverly Hills.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh no, you're fine. Go ahead.
And I guess the one of the janitors was possessed and
the caretaker that lived there.
He ended up passing away.
It was really creepy
because
he kept seeing things being, moving in the, and when he was sweeping up, tables moving, chairs moving. I'm a paranormal investigator, I'll be honest with you. I love doing this. It's one of the things I always wanted to do. But if I'm in a restaurant by myself or a club by myself and I'm sweeping up and I'm actually seeing things moving and flying around.
And you live there?
I'm going on welfare and I'm getting out of there.
You don't have to go on welfare. You just leave.
You just go out the door.
Well, it's because I'm not working there no more. I'll just have to find another job. Where did you work, Bobby Mackey's? And why did you leave? Well, I seen things flying around by themselves there. Okay, come here with me.
And I live there.
Well, we have our own endless stories about the Hulbert House in Boonville. I mean.
Oh, sure.
And even the proprietors have told us. I think the last time we were up there that there was a family eating and they were related to one of the known spirits there, and like a cane or something fell off the table or was moved off the table when they started talking about the piano that their relative used to play. And
yeah.
We've seen the shadows move through the windows there.
Yes, yep.
We had the phantom chicken wing. many, many interesting things there.
I dove into the armchair in the upstairs.
And then rolled out into
and
the
then
hallway.
Rolled out into the hallway.
Yes, that was quite an eventful evening, Mike. I remember that.
And that was the first time I actually had a door slam. That actually scares me.
Right in front of us. Yep.
Because I actually have weird dreams about that. I'll dream about like paranormal activity, and it's always about doors slamming. Just slam that door, and then. But there it was in real life. It's like we're at one end of the hall, and the door it slams at the other end of the building, and it's like, ugh.
I thought that was interesting. I thought that was cool.
Nicole was part of the team here who had one of the best EVPs we pulled out of the Hulbert house, which was the little girl crying,
Help me.
Which
and
made
so
it onto the sci-fi channel and everything.
What made that whole thing really, really, not just the EVP, but what made the whole thing really good is right before the EVP, Nicole goes, I feel kind of creepy. I'm not turning my flashlight off.
I remember that moment.
Yep.
Because I was with the other Nicole.
Yep.
And that was, you just had that feeling, and I didn't know I caught anything.
And right there,
it
happened.
Do you want me to play it?
Please.
Should we play it on the air?
Let's play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't heard that so long.
You're going to hear a very famous clip.
Is someone in here with us? Can you make yourself known?
I'm not turning my flashlight off.
I just got chills. Chills, seriously.
Who says we don't play the real deal here?
That's right.
Okay, so it was after. I thought it was before. But it was because you couldn't hear. You couldn't hear what
I
was saying at the time. So
I felt
it was really awesome.
You want to hear another scary one? Should we play this one? This is a phantom excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Do I really love to talk to you? Excuse me.
The high-pitched lady.
Who was that?
That was at the Hulbert House.
That was at the Hulbert House, too. That's right.
Yeah.
And that may have been the proprietor's grandmother, because when we did that last John Zaffis event, I don't know if you knew this one, Nicole, we had the overnight stay where they were renting the rooms for two or 3 days, and the kid came up the stairs, and he walked by a lady and said hello to her and kept going to his room, and then did he stop or something? And he, like, looked back, and there was nobody sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
And then he was like frantic. He said, where's that old lady? I just said hello to her. And she said hello back. And it's like, and he described her right down to a T, which was the owner's mother, we're pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Scared him. I don't think I seen him investigate much more after that the rest of the weekend. Because
aren't we supposed to be going back there very shortly?
I don't know.
We can set such things up, yes.
We're not supposed to be. We keep talking about we should.
And if you ever want to see the scariest clip, you need to come to one of our presentations. We'll show you Larry dancing at ScareCon 4. Where he kicks this poor gentleman in the head and then apologizes.
Scary Larry.
So I have a rather interesting story that surfaced today. It's kind of an old bit of news that was dismissed until it was reconfirmed and re-released by the Smithsonian Society. An underground city of giants was discovered in the Grand Canyon. Right here, in the Grand Canyon.
For real?
You know Petra? Are you familiar with Petra? Mm-hmm. It's a city in Istanbul. Anyway,
probably, yes.
It's a city that's carved into...
Alexandretta.
Right. So, this researcher, archaeologist, was in... the area of the Grand Canyon for other sanctioned research, taking a kayak ride, and noticed in one of these canyons that there was a crevice that kind of appeared like a tunnel. So they rappelled down the wall after the kayak, and he went in, and sure enough, there was an entire labyrinth over a mile long in the side of this canyon. And within it, there was an huge assortment of these gigantic figures, almost Egyptian in nature, carved into the structure. So these things are like 30 feet tall, and they sent out a team of researchers, and they began researching this tunnel system, and they found out that there were different rooms, and each room had a different purpose, and there was strange writing carved in, and it was Egyptian-esque, but not really Egyptian. And as they were exploring and exploring more and more, they opened up this one particular room, and in this room they found mummified remains, another semi-Egyptian-like link. And the strange thing here is that not one of these mummies was less than 9 feet tall. So
wow.
I'm showing the people these pictures now. And this burial chamber is actually like a big cave with little recesses carved into the wall. And the mummies were kind of propped up against the wall in all of these little cubbies. But aside from that, they had, various statues. And they said the weird thing is that each of these different caverns had some kind of other religious influence. Like this statue is almost Buddhist in nature. The hieroglyphics are kind of Egyptian in nature. The mummies are Egyptian in nature. There's other stuff that, you know, takes cues from a lot of other types of religions too. So this right here was in Arizona.
And this is verifiable.
This is verifiable. The Smithsonian hasn't publicly released it, but it is there, and there's a team of researchers that are investigating it.
Stunned.
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's very strange.
I like want answers now.
And this is in the cavern. It's a city that was cut into the side of this mountain.
For the last radio show, I had one of the things I was going to bring up, I don't remember, was along similar lines that they had discovered Egyptian hieroglyphics in Australia.
Really?
Yeah. That apparently it was the same thing. It was an old story that had recently come back around. And the same thing where it kind of told a story, but they said there was a lot of it that didn't make sense. So they thought it was just like a modern hoax. But if you go with this, which is kind of Egyptian but not, yeah, they found, and they dated them to, you know,
yeah.
Well, they haven't dated them, but the style of the hieroglyphics was like thousands of years ago in Egypt.
It wasn't
like
modern hieroglyphics.
Yeah, not like Ptolemy Egypt.
Yep.
It was like, you know, first dynasty type.
Right. There was an unusual paragraph here that I'll just quickly read. It says, no mummy measured less than 9 feet, and all of them were wrapped in dark linen. The researcher Kincaid wrote he had stood one of them up and photographed it by flashlight, but that photo has gone missing. And it just goes on to discuss the mummies and lotus flower symbology. Lotus flower and lilies were actually in the mummification process.
Flower of life.
Stuff that's not indigenous to this area.
Nephilim.
It gave this weird statement down here that said that there was a smell. Let me find it, because this is like right along Eric's thing. Last but not least, and mostly because of one of the researchers, David Ick, many have connected a deadly snaky smell with the presence of reptilian humanoids. So this particular article goes on to some very fringe stuff, but there's a published article of it, and it's...
I take it they haven't...
It's a sanctioned Smithsonian...
I take it they haven't dug into what's underneath the mummy wrapping yet.
Well, they opened it up, and they were able to find the flowers. I don't know how far in they went. This doesn't really give lots of lots of information.
Yep, that's what those are. Those are Nephilim. Said it in the Bible. There were giants in those days.
Could
sons
be.
Sons of angels.
9 feet,
and
9 feet tall.
Mortal women.
Yeah.
That's very tall. Think about that.
9 feet.
Could start a heck of a basketball team.
Well, who would it...
That's what
back
Goliath
in the day,
was supposed to be.
Noah was supposed to be one of those early race giants, right? I believe Noah was of an original race of humans that was.
I know.
Yeah, that was over 9 feet tall.
Noah was 9 feet tall.
Over 9 feet. Yeah, he was part of that first. Yeah, where are you familiar with that story?
I have never heard that.
Well, what do you call it? Who got slayed there? David and Goliath.
I've never heard, Mike just brought it up. I never heard Goliath was.
Goliath was supposed to be a throwback to the Nephilim, which were when.
Oh, we have Mike on the phone.
Hello, Mike. Are you there?
Oh, hello. Hey, hello. I always listen to your show, guys, and this topic really intrigued me. I've seen specials about it on the History Channel, etc. Is the guest talking about the what was his name, Kincaid, and his supposed discovery of this cave in the Grand Canyon?
Yes, that's the researcher we're talking about.
And it was published in the Arizona Gazette circa 1909, I believe.
April 5th, 1909. That's correct.
Yes. Have you done any kind of? I mean, what is the documentation backing up this story? Because you know, I really wanted it to be true, but every time I did any kind of research on it, I ran into this this brick wall that seemed to indicate it was something made up. At that time, it appears, you know, to spark interest. They publish just about anything.
Yeah,
and
this article
this seemed to be like one of those fanciful tales.
Yeah, this article was published today that new documentation was released from the Smithsonian Society. And they gave another name. Let me find it. I just read it. David Icke, I-C-K-E, and he published a follow-up article along with another professor, S. A. Jordan. And this documentation, like I just said, was recently released as a follow-up to the original 1905 publication, and it sheds new light on this topic. So if I Google
the Smithsonian Society, I will come up with an article 2015 or...
It doesn't give the date of this new publication. It just said that a recent publication was made by these gentlemen.
Well, that sounds interesting.
I'll check on that.
I appreciate hearing the story about this because it's always intrigued me. I mean, and you know, I believe on that show on, I think it's the History Channel, whatever, where they try and... investigate these things. They actually went out to that area, and there were these helicopters circling around. Did you see that episode? I forget what the...
No, I did not, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah. That show where that guy's always questioning things, and they're skeptics. And they go out there, you know, they question everything about the Book of the President, things like that. It's two guys and a girl team.
Yep. But it did say in this particular article that the original author, Kincaid, said the entrance is 1,486 feet down the sheer canyon wall. It is located on government land, and no visitor will be allowed there under penalty of trespass. So that was from 1905. So I wonder what has changed in the meantime.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if anybody can get access out there and actually, you know, I mean, the proof is in actually seeing and...
Right, exactly.
Having some kind of geologist or archaeologist, I guess, out there. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
So there would have to be a back way in, because if you watch National Treasure, they would have had to have cut an air shaft. So there has to be a second way.
I think he's talking about Brad Meltzer's Decoded.
Yes.
The two guys and a girl.
Oh, it could be. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is an interesting show. And, Mike, that is a great show. I watch it all the time.
Yep.
I haven't actually seen it, but it is on my... Amazon Prime to watch it.
This article did speak of two entrances, and the one that they went into was the canyon side, the one that was elevated in this photo above the river.
We learned nothing from the Great Pyramids. There's always an air tunnel.
See, this brings up World War II to me, being a historian there, that during the last days, Hitler was actually waiting for this race of giants to come aid the Third Reich in overthrowing the Russians and winning the war, and he was waiting and waiting for the race of people in the center of the earth. Now, I can understand them suppressing that from history books because
it's kind
at
of
that
cringe.
Time that's a little weird. But now, if you're showing proof of a, which I've this is the first I've ever heard of this, to be honest.
Me too. That's why I found it.
To see something published from 1905, so this was actually known before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it makes you wonder what the government is hiding. Obviously, the Ark of the Covenant is also probably in there. If it's,
well,
being guarded by top men, as Mike would say. But
we all know that doing what we do, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that we can't explain. And I don't think anybody out there would be presumptuous enough to say that they have all the answers for anything. So if this is just one more piece of a giant mystery, then so be it. But it's interesting. It's definitely cool that, that discoveries are still being made about this stuff.
So that's where basketball players came from. Closer to the net.
Mm-hmm.
So we only got like a couple, 2-3 minutes here.
2-3?
I'd like to say that we began the Lamplight Tours this past week. It was completely sold out. Then we sold more.
Yes.
We have a tour this Friday, which is almost sold out, right? I think we're like at 15, 16. On June 6-18th, we have a Cup of Paranormal.
Oh, that's right.
At the Shops at the Finish Line. It'll be, I believe it's at 7 p.m. So if there's anything paranormal you'd like to talk to us about over coffee or dessert, your treat.
That's in Utica, New York.
We will be there. I don't know if you guys set up the presentation. I can't get an answer for the one in July at Jervis Library.
That was all rich. I don't know.
We have August 15th. We'll be bringing John Zaffis to the Shops at the Finish Line in Utica for a repeat of last year's dynamic investigation. Everybody who was there pooped their pants, ran out screaming, and had a really good time. That's just because John was screaming and swearing at everyone.
Yeah.
We have the Rutger Mansions on September 26th. Those tickets will be going on sale very soon. That will sell out probably within a week like it did last time. It's one of the more active locations we've been to, and maybe join us. You could play with the young man named Klaus.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there yet. I'm excited.
It's a very exciting
last
place.
Last time, Pete and I felt that whatever was in there, Klaus or whatever was in there, was kind of playing hide and seek.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we just got the 1 minute warning.
So the Lamplight Tours, being our new venture here in Rome, if you're in the central New York area and you would like to stop by for a historic paranormal tour, please join us. Lamplighttours.com.
And as always, we want to thank Doug and Don of BBS Radio.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
We love this channel for putting up with our shenanigans. On that note, I'm Peter.
Dr. Dave DeProspero.
I'm Mike Perillo.
Nicole Jeffrey.
And I'm Steve Rossi.
Thank you for joining us.
Good night, everybody.
See you in 2 weeks.
Stay spooky, everybody.
Just waiting for that. It's more so.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.